hoping that it works today. I don't know. I think the issue's fixed, so I apologize.
This is how your cows feel to be on a leash right here. See that? That's what they're, that's Dwayne. That's what this is all about, man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Kids are already gone. Looks like the lights are out there. Cool. I like it. Everybody excited to be in church? Am I really loud? Huh? Cool. Well, the Lord is pretty awesome, isn't he? The Lord's pretty awesome. Had some things, and I'm kind of looking forward actually to see what the Lord's going to preach this morning, because it's like, this should be pretty cool. Because it looked a lot of things, and it was like a big jumbly, mumbly mess. It's like, this should be really cool, because the Lord's going to do his thing, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning, Father. Father, we're here today, and we're looking at you, Father. You're the reason we're here. You're our Lord and our Savior, and you loved us enough, Father, that you went through so much on this earth. And Father, as you look at this today, triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, the day you were shown just a little bit of love for who you really were. Oh, Father, I pray that our hearts and our mind would just magnify you today. And Father, we could just look at you in a light that just makes you so awesome to us, that you're so precious. Oh, Father, we can just love you. Father, be with us today. Let us speak the words that you want spoken. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Good day to be in the house of the Lord. Huh? Palm Sunday. Huh? Triumphal entry. Huh? Cool. Everybody get a little excited this morning when you woke up thinking, man, huh? We're celebrating the triumphal entry. Huh? Isn't that cool? You understand the Lord Jesus Christ changes lives every day through relationship. The relationship. It's not religion. It's not something that we have to do. Okay, this is going to be good. I say that because that's for my benefit, not yours. Because the Lord had me going down the way. We're looking today at the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem. Huh? Matt Weisenfuse here last Sunday, he preached that, you know, Jesus, when he did miracles, he told people, don't tell anybody who I am. Just don't, you know, don't say anything. He was really, really quiet about it, right? He told them, don't tell anybody that I'm the one that done this for you. This is probably one of the few places in Scripture where he actually allows himself to be worshipped as God. Isn't that something? Huh? Isn't that exciting? You guys don't seem to get it yet. So this relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, why do you think God would come as a man, to be born as a man, to this earth, to live on this earth, go through life on this earth? We know why it came, right? But it hit me this week, you know, you talk to people that have a lot of trouble, problems, we have health issues. I mean, we know it hurts. We have stuff that hurts us. We have emotional issues, stuff that hurts us. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what that feels like. Do you know he knows what it feels like to be hungry? I'm hungry. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like to be hurt. He probably knows what it feels like to hit his finger with a hammer. He's a carpenter's son. He probably did a little building. I mean, that's kind of a common thing, isn't it, Les? You learn pretty quick to get your hand out of the way after a while, don't you? But some days, there's times, right? There's times. We've all been there. The oops, ow! Huh? He knows what it feels like. And you know, he even knows what it feels like to die. Oh, isn't that something? Our Lord and Savior knows what it feels like to die. So there's nothing that you go through in your life that he doesn't know. Isn't that cool? That relationship. I want to read you something. I had a whole bunch of stuff. I do these little card things now. That's cool. And then they get mixed up and I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And then I do big long pages of stuff. And I put ones and twos and threes and fours and fives. And I said, well, I don't want to do that. I'll do that first. No. And then the Lord says, you're so stupid. Let me help you. And it's like, okay, this is good. This is going to be good. I want to go, we looked at the message today. The title of today is, what motivates you? What motivates you? And the reason I say that, what motivated the Lord Jesus Christ? What motivated him? You. Each and every one of you motivated him to do what he did. Isn't that cool? He had motivation. Isn't that cool? So if you look at the bulletin, you'll see that I had Mark and Luke as verses of Scripture. We're not going to read the whole books, okay? But I want you to see some things here. We're going to look at the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke. If you want to go there, Luke 19, chapter 19. But I want to read some verses of Scripture to get us to a point. I want you to get an idea what was actually going on here. Psalm 118 in the Old Testament, interesting psalm. Psalm 118, if you look, your Bible says, does it say a song of ascents? Is that what your Bible says on top of Psalm 118, Psalm of Ascents? This actually psalm is sang by pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem for Passover. This is part of it. And I want to read you a couple of verses here. I just want you to see this here. We're going to start in Psalm 118, verse 21. I know we're going to... You know, when I get up here to talk, I usually do some Bible surfing. I call it Bible surfing because I'm all over the place in the Bible. And what's really neat about that is it ties everything together. Isn't that cool? Psalm 118, we'll start in verse 21. It says, I will confess, praise, and give thanks to you, for you have heard and answered me, and you have become my salvation and deliverer. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is from the Lord and his doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has brought about. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we beseech you, O Lord. Send now prosperity. O Lord, we beseech you, and give to us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, who has shown us and given us light. Interestingly enough, you read that, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, but everything that we talked about in those verses, we're going to touch on in Luke chapter 19. So let's go to Luke chapter 19. The triumphal entry is recorded in all four books of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke 19 is interesting. It's got some things in it. There's things in Matthew when it says that the whole city was in turmoil or shaken. It's where we get our English word seismic. It's like an earthquake. Cool. But here in Luke, I want to read you some things, and I pray that you get this, because this is something the Lord has showed me, and you could preach every day on the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you'd find something new. But here we go. Here we go. Luke chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 28. It says, and after saying these things, you know, Jesus had been in a little conversation with some people here, stuff going on. It says, and after saying these things, Jesus went on ahead of them, going to Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to stop there. We're coming to Passover. This is Passover. Everybody know what Passover is for the Jews? It's remember when Moses and the children of Israel, the last plague. That plague, he said, you don't want to kill the firstborn. Unless you put blood on the lintel post and the side post of the door, you kill a lamb, then I'll pass over you, and I won't kill your firstborn. That's what they're celebrating here. It's this Passover. So the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Now, we know that he knows what's coming. Right? We've got some bad stuff coming for the Lord Jesus Christ here, right? Now, what does he do in this verse? He goes ahead of them. Isn't that cool? Do you understand that the Lord is a shepherd? He has a shepherd's heart. He loves you. He goes before you. Isn't that cool? He was going to his death, guys. He was going to die. He was not just to die, he's going to be crucified. And he goes first. Wow. That hit me. That hit me. So he's going first. And he says, verse 29, when he came near to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of, called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the village yonder. There as you go in, you will find a donkey's colt tied, on which no man has ever yet sat. Loose it and bring it here. If anybody asks you, why are you untying the colt, you should say, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were loosening the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. and they brought it to Jesus. This is interesting. In every account in the Gospels, you find this part. Okay, and it's interesting to me when I was studying this colt that has never been ridden on. Matt Wiseman tells the story of his donkey story. Everybody heard his donkey story. Okay, donkeys, if you know, are a little hard-headed. They're a little bull-headed. They're a lot worse than cows, Dwayne. You got it made. You say, good thing you don't raise donkeys, right? Okay. They're bull-headed. They do it. They do their own thing. They say that donkeys have no natural enemies. They'll fight to the death. Whatever. They're just dumb that way, I guess. You know what I'm saying? So, to have a donkey that has never been ridden before, never been ridden, okay? Anybody ever see a horse that's never been ridden? Somebody tries to get on it? Woo, baby. Huh? Yeah, this is some excitement here, right? Huh? This is good. People make money at these horse riding events, right? I mean, for cowboys, right? So there's a lot going on here. This donkey, they come, they take it on time, they lead him, and they bring him to Jesus. The interesting part about this, why does all the Gospels cover this? You guys have any study Bibles, have a footnote anywhere in your Bible? I want to look at something. Zechariah. It's in the Old Testament. If you go to Malachi, go to Matthew, and go two books to the left. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9 is a prophecy that the people here, we're going to get to this, that the people here thought was being fulfilled in their eyes. Okay? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is uncompromisingly just and having salvation, patient, meek, lowly, and riding on a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." Huh? So, 500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ gets on this donkey, there is a prophetic scripture, one verse in Zechariah that says, you know what? Zion, O daughter of Zion, O daughter. Why does he say, O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem? Why does he say both? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? See, I'm kind of guy, I got to look up stuff like that. It means he's talking to the entire tribe of Israel. Period. Exclamation point. He says, your salvation is going to come. He's a Messiah. He's going to be riding on a colt. Now, why did it say in Zechariah he's going to be riding on a colt? They missed something here. They miss them. We're going to get to it. I should have read a whole book of Luke there, talked about that. We're going to get to it. Why is the Savior coming on a colt? When a king had conquered a town, a people, they rode into the town on their war horse. This is a horse that had things on it. It had stuff covering its legs. I mean, this is a mean. This horse was made for fighting. It was the thing that the king rode. It was what you got. You got on this horse, that things is going to happen. This horse is ready. He looks forward to going into battle. He likes the noise. He just enjoys it. That's a war horse. The Messiah here is going to be coming on a donkey. The king came on a donkey because he was humble. And if you go back to 1 Kings, if you like to do a lot of Bible surfing, 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 33, I believe. If you go back and read, David is becoming, he's getting to the point where he's going to pass away, he's going to die. So he makes King Solomon his son, his king. And Solomon rides into Jerusalem on a donkey through the eastern gate, the same way the Lord Jesus Christ does here in Luke. Isn't that cool? He fulfills several prophecies. Isn't that cool? See, I look at this stuff, I get a little excited. You guys all sit like, where's the punchline? Yeah, I get excited. Let's go back to Luke. But I want to show you things. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. We know what he came for. He knew what he came for. But there was things that he had to take care of. There was prophetic scriptures that were written 500 years before he was born that he fulfilled. Isn't that cool? 500 years that he fulfilled. And that's what this story, that's why all the Gospels have this in there, this account. So, here we go. And something I should tell you, because you guys look really excited. Everybody looks awake this morning. If you go back in that Zechariah 9 and you do some word studies on shout and on King comes, yay team, huh? Is that what that yay team? Is that what it is? No! This is like, come on, baby! Huh? what this is about. It's like the one commentator I read, I had to chuckle. He said they were telling them to whoop it up. Whoop it up. Huh? Anybody ever whoop it up? Huh? Yeah, we're in church. We don't whoop it up in church. Right? Huh? But that's what he's saying. Rejoice! Rejoice! Your king comes! Huh? Your king comes! And that's what it's supposed to do. So here we go. So we got this donkey that's never been rode on. This is going to get ready for show here now, right? The donkey's never been rode. This should be fun, right? They brought it to Jesus. Then they threw their garments over the colt and set Jesus upon it. And as he rode along, the people kept spreading their garments on the road. And some say that there were palm branches thrown down. That's why it's Palm Sunday. Okay, I didn't get you any palms today. I thought about it. But I thought, you know, you all got palms, right? We all have two palms, most of us, right? Two palms, right? So they put these garments on this donkey. They're throwing palm branches down on the road. Verse 37, as he was approaching the city, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God. Huh? In this church, you don't get excited in church, right? Real calm. We're real relaxed here, right? No, they're getting pretty excited here, looks like, ain't they? They're like, dude, here we go! Huh? He says, his disciples began to rejoice and praise God loudly. Loudly. For all the mighty miracles and works of power that they had witnessed. What have they witnessed? You know, not too long ago, they just seen a dead guy come out of a grave. His name was Lazarus. Isn't that cool? Huh? They actually saw this. The people, there's a crowd of people here. The disciples are here. There's a crowd of people that have seen that miracle. Isn't that cool? If you saw somebody raise somebody to the dead, would you be pretty impressed? No? Nobody? You guys don't look like you'd be impressed at all. Yeah, I see it every day. Happens all the time. Huh? Yeah, that's what they just saw. This is pretty cool. Louder for the mighty works. In verse 38 says, crying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Woo! Whooping it up, maybe, huh? Peace in heaven and glory, majesty in the highest heaven. The Amplified says, freedom there from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. Huh? Woo! And this here, verse 38, remember what we read in verse, or Psalm 118? Remember about this? Praising? That's where this comes from. These pilgrims, why they call them pilgrims? I guess they do call them pilgrims. You know, people that go, there'll be a massive amount of pilgrims in the Holy Land next week for Easter. Massive. They call them pilgrims. They all come do their pilgrimage to come to the town of Jerusalem for Easter, for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody ever think about doing that? No. Be interesting, wouldn't it? Be interesting to be the place. But so you got disciples here, you got pilgrims here, you got people that saw these miracles. They're getting a little excited. Jesus coming in, they're thinking, you know, this could be the Messiah. He's coming. He's coming on a donkey. He's going to see. And you know why they're getting excited? You know why? Because Rome had oppressed them. They were under Roman rule, under Roman law. They couldn't do anything without Rome. So, yeah, you could do it. No, they were under law. So they thought, our king's coming. He's going to set us free. I think that would only have been a temporary satisfaction, though, wouldn't it? Because there'd have been some other people that came to do some other stuff. Yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ knew why he was coming. He came. He came to take all the sins of the world upon himself. To pay the price that not a one of us could pay for our sin. To pay the price for each and every one you hear. 2,000 years ago, he knew the sins I would commit in my life. And they're many. They're many. I told someone yesterday, My grandmother always told me, she said, no rest for the wicked. I must be a wicked person. Huh? I must be. I thought, man, all the stuff I got to do, I must be pretty wicked. I don't know, I've never seen that in the Bible, though. So I don't know where she got that, but maybe that's just a saying she had. Long story short, we'll keep going. So here we see this, the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He's being celebrated as the King, the Messiah. The King. People are going, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! You guys all, I can't even get a hand raised this morning. Man, it's like, man, it's like dead. We're like tired, disease load. Huh? And I'm thinking, we're excited. Jesus is coming. Isn't that cool? And here we go. Here we go. Yesterday, I had to work yesterday. I took 2 hours off. A friend of mine I work with, his mother passed away, and they had calling hours up there in Cleveland. And I was working in Cleveland anyway, so I went to them. It was kind of neat. It was a very legalistic service. And I say that because, remember what I told you, the Lord Jesus Christ changes lives by relationship, not legal rules. It impressed upon me. It was a very nice service. It was very, very holy. The guy wore some really fancy clothes, and it was like, and when I was looking at that, it was almost like, I enjoyed it. It was scriptural. Bible was read. It was really nice, but it was like, you've taken it to the nth degree. You know what? I didn't judge, but it came to my heart. I was studying this because the next verse, it says, and they're going to run into some Pharisees and some Sadducees. And who were the Pharisees? You know? They were the holy of the holies. Who were the Sadducees? They were the holy of the holies. They were holy. Holy. Huh? I could never be a Pharisee or Sadducee. I'm not very holy. But they were. And it impressed upon my heart because what are they going to say here? Listen to this. And some of the Pharisees from the throng said to Jesus, Teacher, reprove your disciples. Make them shut up! That's what they said. And the Lord Jesus replied, I tell you that if these kept silent, the very stones will cry out. You ever think about that? You ever see a stone cry out? You ever see a stone cry out? We got some fake stones over here. I thought this morning, I was looking, I was like, you know, it'd be interesting if nobody got up here to preach and the stone said, I'll tell you about Jesus. I know who he is. Wouldn't that be cool? Huh? Wouldn't that be cool? I'll tell you about him. He made me. Isn't that cool? Huh? The stones themselves would cry out. That's pretty impressive. Most of you guys probably don't know what cassette tapes are. Older people, us older generational people know what cassette tapes are. You know, cassette tapes were like a little plastic. Yeah, we even got one up there. If you've never seen one before, this is in the museum up there. We have a museum of cassette tapes. Cassette tapes were actually like a real fine plastic, real small. And they actually coated them with fine rock powder to get the sound out of them. When I heard that, I thought, the rocks cry out. They did. I don't know what they put on CDs. They were just plastic looking things. I'm not sure. But he says the rocks would cry out. So if the disciples had kept their mouths shut, I think that would have been cool to see. If he said, shut up! And the rocks all went, wouldn't that be cool? And you know what ties in together? I think the Lord used this. He said, you know, if these keep silent, the very stones will cry out. You know, in chapter 20 of Luke, chapter 20, what is it? Oh, comes up here pretty fast. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he tells them that the stone, verse 17, Jesus looked at them and said, what then is the meaning of this that is written? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Remember we read that? Where did we read that at? Psalm 118? The very stone that the builders rejected? Who is that chief cornerstone?
Jesus!
I almost think he's just throwing that a little bit in his face because he knew it was coming. You know what I'm saying? Now what's he do? This is an exciting time, guys. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming into Jerusalem. He's coming across the causeway they built. There was a lot of dead people they threw down in the Kidron Valley. They just threw them down there because they were dead. Okay, so they just threw them down there. So the Jews believed that if you touched a dead body, you were defiled for 7 days. So you couldn't celebrate Passover if you touched a dead body. So they went to the extreme. They built this ramp across there, the Kidron Valley. It's a little ramp. It's kind of cool. You can see it in old pictures. They get a little ramp coming, and it goes in the Eastern Gate. The Lord Jesus Christ. Picture this. Jesus is coming. He's on a donkey. Hosanna! Praise the Lord! Woo-hoo! And he's riding in the town on a donkey. Isn't that cool? And the town is in an uproar. Nobody's sitting down. Everybody's going, yeah! Some of these people didn't even know why they were there. But they were getting excited because the town was like, it's a buzz! Woo! Huh? This is the day we're celebrating it. You guys look like they're still asleep. Wow. This is what's going on. I want to read you this. Remember we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ changes lives with relationships? He changes lives with relationships. And I'm not going to cover even half of what I had wrote down here, but I want to read this to you. And as he approached the city, he wept. There's only three places that I can read in the Bible that Jesus wept. Wow. But when he comes into the city, now think about this. This is an exciting time. This is exciting. And people are praising and magnifying him. They're lifting up his name. Hosanna, Hosanna. Here comes the name of the Lord. They're excited, right? Wouldn't you be excited? People are doing that for you? Seemed like I would, maybe. Wouldn't you? Maybe a little more excited than you are today. Maybe a little. Okay. So I'm thinking this, and what's he do as he comes to the city? He cries. What's he cry for? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to tell him why. Listen to this. Do you understand that this same crowd, this is the hard part. Do you understand that the same crowd that's going, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Woo-hoo! In a couple of days, you're going to be the same crowd that hollers, crucify him. Wow. How's that for a stab in the back? How's that for emotional distress? How's that for some pain? You know, Jesus knew what was coming. And he reads here. We read here. He approached you weep because exclaiming in verse 42, would that you had known personally, even at least in this your day, the things that make for peace. For freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin and upon which your peace, your security, safety, prosperity, and happiness depends. You know what he's telling them? He said, man, you guys don't know why I'm here. But now they're hidden from your eyes. And he weeps. And then he does a little prophetic scripture. It says, for a time is coming upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank against you and surround you and shut you in on every side. And they will dash you to the ground, old Jerusalem, and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, all because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to save them from Rome. He came to save them from themselves. Isn't that something? You know, he does the same thing to you and I. He comes to save you from yourself. He comes to save me from myself. I'm going to read something to you here. I don't usually read things from verbatim, but I like the way this is written. This is a true story. I want to read it to you. It's talking about relationships. Why? The title of the sermon today was What Motivates You? Why do you come to church? Do you enjoy coming to church? Do you like coming to church and seeing me make an idiot of myself and say, I wonder what that guy's going to do stupid this week? Huh? And I'm glad I can be some comedic humor for you, but I don't think that's the reason why we come, right? We come because we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love Him. And He loves us. I'm going to read something to you here. It says, external observances, the rules of religion, can actually get in the way of our relationship with God. When you are motivated, when you are motivated by relationship, surrender comes naturally. True story. The story is told of a woman who was married to an ungrateful, controlling, and dominating man. It didn't take her long to realize that unless she did everything that was on her husband's list, her life would be miserable. This forlorn woman kept a list in the top drawer of her dresser of everything that she knew her husband wanted from her. Every day she would seek to fulfill each item on the list. After 20 years of marriage and what seemed like a lifetime of trying to please someone who could not be pleased, her husband died suddenly of a heart attack. A few years later, the same woman met and fell in love with a godly Christian man who treated her with respect, honor, and dignity. She loved his personality, his heart, everything about him. She had always considered herself to be a somewhat lazy person because she lacked the motivation to try and fulfill each item on her previous husband's list. But life with her new husband shed light on who this woman really was. She had energy, focus, and diligence. In fact, on any given day, she would go do far more than what was on her first husband's demanding list. And what's more, she would do everything willingly and gladly. One day, while cleaning out her dresser, the woman found the old list, noticing that everything on it, which used to be a chore, had now turned into a pleasure. She wondered what had changed. Then she realized the simple truth, that relationship was a far greater motivation than rules could ever be. The first man had dominated through rules without relationship. The second man offered her a relationship that motivated her response. The activity was the same, but the motivation changed both the results and the activity. Isn't that something? And I read that. I thought that was really cool. This is on a... If anybody ever gets a chance, Tony Evans wrote a book. It's called Kingdom Agenda. I've been reading it for 5 years. I'm on the fifth chapter. Because it really hits home to what I should be doing as a Christian. What motivates me? Where do I get my motivation from? It's an awesome book. If you ever get a chance to read it, you should. This story is in there. Do you realize that Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to put down rules and laws? He came to actually fulfill the law. Every 634 laws that they had made that you had no way of ever being able to ever in your lifetime be able to keep, He fulfilled. Every sin that you committed since you didn't know any better until you did, until now, and probably the sins you're going to commit tomorrow, maybe even today, because you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, He forgives you of that. That's something. Why did the Lord Jesus, what motivated the Lord Jesus to go to that cross? We're coming to that, guys. Easter's coming. Easter's coming. Look at all the stuff that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through, and it humbles me. It makes me cry when I think of stuff. I just, why would someone love me that much to put up with all of that junk? He was God. Do you understand? He was God. There was nothing. Nothing. When He was on that cross and they drove the nails into His body. Anybody ever get a splinter? That hurts, yeah. Painful, right? Ooh. Anybody ever have a nail drove through your arm? I know some guys that had a nail drove into their knee one time. Pretty painful, right, brother? Yeah. And then to hang on a cross. I can't fathom it. Why would he? Why would the Lord Jesus Christ do this? Why would he? Why would God? He had no reason to, did he? You know he loved you. I shared it in Sunday school today, and I heard it this week, and I know it, but it never really hit home to me until it was put in these words. God loved you so much that he killed his only child to save you. Wow. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Huh? You think you could kill one of your children to save somebody else's life? Think you could? I don't think I could. Could you? I don't think I could. And as a dad, as a mom, we look at our kids and think, what did that have to feel like for God to say, I'm going to have to kill you, son, to save their lives? Wow. Huh? Do you understand? God loved you so much. He wanted to have a relationship with you so much that he went through all that so he could. Now look at this triumphal entry. This is one of the very few times that Lord Jesus Christ allowed himself to be praised in the way he was so deserving of. And we come up here and sing songs, we praise him every Sunday. It really has to touch your heart to be able to stand here and praise a God who he has millions and billions and trillions of people that could sing and praise him better than I could ever do, better than any of us could ever do. But he allows us to do it, and he gives heart for it, and we love him. That's why we do what we do. We're motivated by our love for God, because he was motivated by his love for us. As you go through this week, and troubles come up against you, trials, weakness, hunger, thirst, pain, know that the Lord Jesus Christ has felt all of those. It's okay to say, that hurts, God, that hurts! He understands. Isn't that cool? He understands. He understands that pain you're going through. He knows what it feels like. And you know what? He's okay with you hollering at him. He's God. He's okay with you. He knows how you feel. He knows how it feels. He was here once as a man. He knows what it feels like to be pain and hurt. He knows. There's nothing you're going through that's going to surprise him. Don't be afraid to talk to him. He wants to have a relationship with each and every one of you. He wants to hear from you once in a while. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to be there for you. He's the shoulder to cry on. He's the hand to hold. He's a hug when no one else gives you one. Huh? He's God. And he loves you. And I got to beat that horse pretty good, haven't I? Yeah. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we are awestruck, Father, by the amount of love you have for us. We look at you and see what you did, Father, the things you went through. Knowing coming to Jerusalem was going to be your death now. You were going to die a terrible death. You were going to be betrayed, beaten, spit upon, abused. Oh, Father, we don't know why you did it. Yeah, we do, because you loved us. And that word is so easily thrown out there, but that love that you had for us, there's no meaning for it. It's just an awesome thing. Because you cared, loved, had compassion for us so much, and you loved us. Father, we just praise you. Press upon our hearts and our minds this season, Father, today. As we come to our Good Friday service and we come to Easter service next Sunday, Father, the reason you did all you did was so we could just praise you and be with you, and you could just have a relationship with us, and we with you, and we could love you. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. Press upon our minds how much you do. Love us. Father, we just praise you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Come to the next part of this service. I'm going to do a song for you. And this time, no more special than any other. But this is the time that the church has opened up for you to come forward. You get prayed for. Get anointed. If you have a problem in your life, something coming against you, something you need prayer for, that's what this is for this time. Is Les going to come forward? Jesse? We're going to stand down front here. If you guys have something you need prayed for while the song's being sung, feel free to come up. That's what we're here for. Praise the Lord.